Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back here on Inside Black and Gold, and we're going to dive into the mailbag. We haven't done this in a while. I'm looking forward to it. One of my favorite segments that we do. You know, in the offseason, things get weird, things get wonky, but we're muddling through. Give us stars, plural. I'm Jeff Nowak alongside Steve Geller. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. Follow Steve at Steve Geller WWL. And if you haven't subscribed, why not do it? First comment, first question out of the mailbag is more like a comment. It's from Swack Fan. He says, I don't want Sean Payton anywhere in the NFC. I've never understood this. This idea that if he's not in the NFC, they're better off. It's the same thing that you see like when the Packers are talking about trading Aaron Rodgers. They're like, oh, we want to trade him out of the NFC. Does that really benefit you? Like, I could understand not trading within your own division, but how often do you actually play like the NFC West, right? Like, you're really worried about playing him like once every 4 years, and maybe they'll occasionally give you another matchup. Like, and then if you're talking about the playoffs, like, wouldn't it be worse to lose to that guy in a Super Bowl than it would be to lose in like the NFC Championship or the divisional round? Or you could win, and then all of a sudden you're the winner in that. Like, I don't see how that actually benefits you.
For me personally, I'm not even worried about the conference, but I was not on board with Peyton going to the Panthers. Like I said, don't want to see him twice a year, every year.
Yeah.
And
right.
To me, that would be a problem. But yeah, if you're going to start looking at the entire NFC, I guess you could say you look at a team like the Eagles or the Bears, since you play them, it seems so often, but I don't know. Yeah, that wouldn't really concern me too much either. I'm just trying to get, especially at this point with the market seeming to fizzle right now, just some kind of draft compensation for this year, please. I want the Saints in the first round.
Yeah, I can understand that. Like, yeah, okay, we don't want to send him somewhere where he's going to be in our building once a season and we're going to have to go visit him once a season. That makes sense to me. I can understand that. But like, yeah, it's like, oh, we would never want to trade him to like, you know, the Cardinals. Like, would that really, like, you know, how often do you play the Cardinals? I don't see. And it's like at the expense of slashing your potential suitors, like the potential bidding market in half. Like, that's the cost. And that's why like the Packers don't want to trade Aaron Rodgers within the NFC. And I'm like, so if this team showed up and gave you the best offer, you'd be like, no, we're going to have to play you once every 4 years. That's not worth it. I'm like, we might have to play him in the NFC Championship. It's like, then don't trade him at all. Like, if that's your, it doesn't make sense. Anyway, I've always found that dumb.
Yeah, that definitely something that I don't think would be in consideration either, just because you want that compensation for wherever it's coming from. And you're going to have to play play all these teams eventually, obviously, whatever.
Yeah. Like, if they're trading enough, if they give you the best offer, then it's like, is that a bad thing? Here's Chris P says, how a one star? I think you guys do a good job. This is why I listen. Thanks, Chris. I think we do a decent job too, and that's why I get annoyed. I'm not gonna name drop him because he doesn't have a real name, so I can't. Mr. One Star Pete Carmichael hater. Anyway, thanks, Chris. I appreciate Pete. That. This is Mike Marchese. Peyton is coming back to NOLA. ... Watch! Exclamation point.
It's How long do we have to watch for?
Yeah. Well, and like, I get why people, this is an attractive idea for people. And, you know, and I think I went through the whole, like, oh, what if he brings Tom Brady? Would that change the equation? But I think, like, Nick Underhill says this a lot. It's like, I don't think that's how it works when you quit your job. You're just like,
right.
You know, well, yeah. No one else wants to hire me. You mind if I come back? Like, go quit your job and see if that's how it works.
The biggest thing I do feel, though, in all of this for Sean is the fact that he's never going to find that same scenario, that same feeling in the Saints building anywhere else, that whatever was special.
Unchecked authority.
Whatever you want to say between him being able to do, you know, his free reign and the fact that he was so trusted with things. Yeah, that's not going to be the case everywhere.
Yeah, you're not going to get unchecked authority everywhere you go. It's just a fact of life. But at the same time, like, it's like, no, that bridge is gone. Like, you're not doing it again. I don't see it. Especially not this season. Like, if you think that Sean's coming back this year, you're out of your mind. He's either getting a job and getting traded somewhere, or he's going back to Fox. Like, he's not going back to the Saints. Like, they're not going to suddenly fire Dennis Allen.
Unless the Saints get Lamar Jackson, and then maybe Sean comes back too.
Well, maybe he might want to, but again... There's two sides in this equation. And if you think that the Saints front office and like ownership was like very, very super understanding of him walking out the door and leaving them high and dry, like they may have said that and they may have like put on the right face. Like, no, that pissed some people off, right? Like, that wasn't convenient for anybody.
It pissed off a lot of fans. And,
yeah. No, I don't see it.
It's like, oh, now you don't have the franchise quarterback, and now you're out of here instead of trying to, you know, bring in a new guy and develop one, which he never did, obviously.
Well, so, you know, this is funny. We did talk about all like the quarterback kind of coats on the wall for Sean. One that we didn't mention, which should be mentioned as it pertains to Sean, is Tony Romo.
Just because while he was there in Dallas before coming to New Orleans?
Yeah. Like he was Tony Romo's coach, and he wanted... Like Sean wanted Tony Romo to be his quarterback on the Saints, but the Cowboys wouldn't trade him. So, like, in fairness to Sean, as I go through his list of Garrett Graysons and Ian Books and Luke McCowns and whatever, it is only fair to include Tony Romo in that list. And someone on YouTube pointed that out. So I think it is fair. Like, we should mention, like, he did mold Tony Romo, and he was a very, very good quarterback for a long time. So I'll give him credit there.
Well deserved. I see on that one, but man, he's got a bunch of misses after that.
Yeah, and that's the only one that I'm going to add. I'm not adding anybody else. I'll give him Drew Henson, right? Like, no. The Keeping It Real Who Dat Sports Podcast. Has anyone thought about this? Maybe Sean Payton is a very bad interviewer. Maybe he is turning teams off in the process. It's a fair question.
I don't buy it.
Sean hasn't had to interview for a job in a long time. Maybe he doesn't do it well. Like, that's a reasonable question. I don't think that's out of the equation here, because, you know, not getting a second interview places would indicate that they are not falling in love with you as a coaching candidate. And I mean, I'm not saying like he's like going in there and like, you know, tearing all the posters off the walls and, you know, put his feet up on the desk. But I'm like, he had basically the run of the show in New Orleans, and that might not, like, the way he wants to go about his job might not match what these teams are looking for in a head coach, and whether they're right or not, right? Like, some of these teams aren't exactly this paragon of success either. They all fired their coach, so they don't necessarily know what they're talking about in that respect. But I do think that it's a fair question to ask.
To me, I can't imagine Sean being a bad interviewer just because his smarts, his know-how of the game, and just his overall attitude is going to come through. And he's one of those dudes that people want to be around and has that, quote-unquote, I guess you would say, charm about him that I think he's able to win over pretty much the room all the time.
Then where's the job offers? That's all I have to say.
I think it's the big compensation, because you have to give up so much of an allotment of draft picks and making him possibly the highest paid head coach in the NFL. It's like a double whammy back to back. The Denver situation really, you know, when you think about it more and more after what they had to give up to get Russell, and now you're going to have to give up another boatload to get Sean. It seems like you're crippling the organization too much than helping it.
Possible. Murtis has a more conspiratorial take, which is Murtis Lockett here says maybe Peyton is tanking his interviews on purpose. Kind of like when they interviewed coaches last year and they promoted Dennis Allen. I don't know about that. I don't think he's tanking interviews. If he's tanking interviews, I don't know. Maybe he is tanking interviews, but I don't think he's intentionally tanking interviews if he's tanking interviews.
Oh, you mean like the Colts lost the Super Bowl because of the Katrina and the Saints?
I don't know. I don't know what you're referencing. I mean, they did lose the Super Bowl.
No, it was one of those things. Oh, and they lost it because, you know, to give the Saints the victory. Right.
It's possible. Here's keeping it real again. Says Shahid was not very impressive at either punt return or kickoff return. Hardy is better. I know special teams units stunk. I mean, Hardy, like Deontay hasn't had a good kick return season since 2020.
That was his Pro Bowl year, right?
No, that was 2019.
No? Okay.
2020 was the COVID year, and he was solid, but he was hurt a lot of the season. He had a good return season, but he missed a lot of games. 2021, he was bad. 2022, he was bad. Now, what Deontay always did very well that went underappreciated was he was really good at getting upfield and just going headfirst into traffic and fielding kicks, where if you didn't get to them, they're going to bounce and roll 10, 15, 20 yards. He's going to fair catch them and they're not going to go anywhere, but just fielding them at all is saving you yardage. And I think that's something where that's something that Rashid didn't do particularly well this year. But as a rookie, you know, you don't want to be muffing punts, and he didn't muff any punts. So in that respect, I'm okay with it. Like in the return game, so much of being successful is not making mistakes. And he didn't make any major mistakes. He made one in his first game as the returner. I can't remember which game this was, but he let the ball bounce and it went like 30 yards. It might have been the Bengals. And like that was the only real bad mistake he made, I think, in the return game. But he was solid. Like
he had two games it was where he got tripped up by the turf.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he didn't break any plays. Like he didn't make any game-breaking plays on in the return game, but he also didn't make any mistakes. And so that's where I'm okay with it. Like I'm okay with special teams being neutral, right? You can't lose you games. Would it have been better if you had some more, you know, big plays in that regard? Yes. But I don't think he was bad. Again, I like his profile in the offense a lot better than I like him as a dedicated returner. So I'm okay with them, you know, kind of farming that out a little bit and maybe bringing in someone like a Trey Palmer who is more of a burner and is just there to just do that. But I don't think you're going to pay Deontay. I think like that situation got awkward. And I don't think you're going to bring him back.
And I'll just say for Shahid, I don't have a problem with him on special teams in the punter kickoff return either. In fact, I look forward to seeing more of that in year two to see how much he can grow, obviously. And, you know, just one of those guys you feel can break one at any second.
There's one more here. Jeff Ireland and the Saints seem to love Will Levis of Kentucky. They like the offense he ran. I agree. I think they would love Will Levis, but I don't think they're going to have a pick to go get him. He's going to be, I think if he got to the middle of the first round, that would be a disappointment for him because I think he's a top 10 candidate if he shows off. Well, I mean, for him, it's going to come down to how he performs in, for example, the Senior Bowl. He is the top quarterback prospect at the Senior Bowl. So that's going to be his first kind of showcase situation, right? If he goes out there and he stinks, then maybe the Saints will have a shot at him because maybe he does drop into the second round. But I think it's more likely that he goes out there and he shows off the talent that, you know, Kentucky's tough because it's not a quarterback paradise. So, you know, it's kind of like Daniel Jones at Duke where it's like you kind of have to look past the fact that the offense stunk around him and just kind of look at the skills. But yeah, but I don't disagree with this. I do think the Saints like Will Levis.
Sure. I just definitely don't think it's going to be a scenario, obviously, where he's even close to being around when they would have a pick or even could get into a pick. Even with number 12, you could get from Houston, say, for Sean Payton, Levis ain't going to be around.
I think he could be. And if you are at 12, then you would have the ammunition,
the range,
to potentially go up a few picks, right? Like, you could be the Chiefs going to get Pat Mahomes. I'm not comparing Will Levis to Pat Mahomes. I'm just comparing the situation where the Saints were at 11 and the Chiefs traded it up to 10 and took Pat Mahomes. So, like, that's the situation you could be in. But I don't think that's going to happen either. And we can go back to this over and over again for the same reason. I mean, the only way you're getting the 12 from the Texans is if there's someone else there that's like forcing you to give up the 12, right? Like, if the Texans are the only game and it's like he's either going there or not, there is no incentive for them to give up a first round pick. And there's no incentive for Sean to be like, yeah, guys, definitely trade the number 12. I don't want that if I'm going to be your future coach. So, like, I don't think that that's even a question at this point.
Right. I was going to say, I just figure, obviously, when they have, you know, what is it, number two?
They would have had number one if they didn't accidentally win in week 18.
What I'm saying, though, you would imagine, though, that 12 pick would have to come into play for Peyton. What, are the Saints are just going to take a second round pick for him?
I think it takes a future first.
Well, that's what they were going to have to do with Arizona if that deal comes about.
Right. But there's a big difference to me between giving up a future first and giving up the 12 this year, especially because you're adding Sean thinking he's going to kind of raise the watermark to somewhere where you might not, you know, ideally you're not getting the 12th pick, but, you know, worst case scenario, you're able to get two premium picks this year and then next year kind of ends where it does. But yeah. Either way, I don't think that it's going to happen. I don't think that the market's there for him. All right. Chris D, do you think Sean will go back to Fox? I think that's going to be the only option for him, personally.
I'm hoping that's not the case, obviously, because I am selfish and want draft picks so we have something to talk about when we're doing all of our draft coverage instead of a day of absolutely waiting around and doing nothing.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Well, hey, if the Saints aren't in the first round of the problem with the Saints not having a first round pick is you still can't not, like, you still have to, like,
work.
Yeah, because you know that they could very easily trade into the first round. Like, they're not a team that's going to sit on their hands. So it's like you can't like relax. You still have to be like waiting, you know. That's what makes it frustrating.
Right, something out of this world could happen where the Saints have just sent Alvin Kamara to the Titans, or I'm just saying, you know, for whatever, for a first-round draft pick. Kind of, something could manufacture a pick other than, obviously, Sean Payton. It's not likely, though, but it still could happen.
Well, just for example, like, the Saints do really love Will Levis, and he completely stinks at all of his workouts and all of his, you know, whatever, but they're just in love with the film and they've interviewed him and they really like him. And they, as Thomas Dimitroff once said to me, they smelled the pits and they came away happy. And then he falls into like the mid first round. Are you able to get up to like 23, 24? You know, like, are you able to flip the 40 and some other assets and go get him if he's really the guy who you think he is? Maybe. Right. And so that's why, like, you can't just be like, well, they don't have a first-round pick. I guess we can take the night off. Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. Chris D, Carl was playing better than Marcus Davenport. That's Carl Granderson. I wouldn't be surprised if Marcus is traded. Marcus Davenport is a free agent, so you're not trading him. But I agree that Carl was playing better than Marcus. Marcus was benched late in the season. Like, he was playing, but he wasn't starting. Carl was starting. And so I think you are happy with what you got out of Carl. You are very disappointed in what you got out of Marcus. And the only question with Marcus is, are you able to bring him back at a rate that is like a sweetheart deal for you and is kind of a rebuild short-term contract for him where it's a kind of a win-win situation and you're going to be able to get Marcus contract year Marcus that you thought you were going to get this year, next year at a steep discount, then I see you bringing him back. But if you're talking about paying Marcus at like a competitive salary for like a middle to top end defensive end, sorry, he's walking. I'm not paying that.
I'm going to guarantee that Saints fans are going to get mad though when Marcus Davenport ends up leaving to go join Ryan Nielsen somewhere, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then gets 15 sacks and plays 16 games.
Right. Amazing.
Well, but that's the thing. But that's the thing with Marcus. And we've seen it, right? Like, I think Marcus's issue this year was confidence. And because it's not like he suddenly forgot how to be that game-wrecking defensive end that we saw last year when he was healthy. I don't know. It just wasn't clicking for him. And so, like, that is the frustrating thing that you probably do end up letting him walk, and maybe he does show up somewhere where he kind of can get his confidence back and suddenly he's this double-digit sack guy again. It would not surprise me at all. And so, yeah, but I just don't see, you know, this guy had a half a sack all freaking season. That is absurd. Peyton Turner had two.
It's almost as if the finger injury had some kind of a mental effect also on his game. I don't know.
Do you think it's like a Samson situation where all of his football talent was in his pinky and he cut it off and it's like, oh no.
Oh, it's gone. Some of the aggressiveness or something. It just, he wasn't that same beast mode kind of upfront guy this year.
Yes. I think we've actually gotten to the bottom of this. His football talent was in his pinky and then he cut it off and it was all gone.
I don't know that, but anyway. Maybe also too became kind of like a self-conscious thing. He was like bothered by the fact that he was missing that thing. Remember he got really, when we did talk to him during training camp, he was kind of,
but he was weirded out that everyone took pictures of it.
Exactly right. He's like, he was kind of weirded out by the whole scenario of like, well, you guys took pictures of it and blew it up and put it all over social media. So it definitely was something that bothered him right there.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Kyle Turley went to anger management. I feel like Marcus Davenport needs the reverse of that almost. He needs to go to
anger class.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he's not a mean guy on the field, although he did punch Deontay Foreman in the helmet. So, but even that was kind of like, if you're going to punch a guy. Don't give him this kind of like slap. If you're going to get an ejection, earn it. What was his name from the Bears? I'm blanking on it.
Oh, the receiver?
Guy who punched CJ. Javon Wims. Go to the Javon Wims school of sucker punching. Anyway, Chris D wants the Saints to draft Jahmyr Gibbs out of Alabama. He's AL 2.0. I don't know what that means. I think he might have hit the L instead of the K. They are right next to each other. And he's saying AK 2.0. But yeah, I mean, like, I would love the Saints to start drafting running backs. I hope they do, but it's just not their game.
Well, you think this year though, they're going to have to. I don't think.
Yeah,
they're
gonna we can end it on that. It's like, what do the Saints do at running back, right? And I hope so. I mean, but they don't really have a ton of picks.
I know it's hard to guarantee you're going to find that guy, but we've talked about this a bunch. You need to find someone along with, obviously, Alvin Kamara to be more of that pounded up the middle kind of guy in this offense for me. I've seen way too many times where you're letting Kamara do that, that's where he shouldn't be used, and we should be getting more screen passes his way instead.
Yeah, so a free agent that is intriguing to me, although he does come with baggage, is Kareem Hunt. I don't know if you want two running backs that punch people right outside of elevators.
Out, hey-o.
But like from a skill set perspective and from like a tread on the tires perspective, and you know, I don't know what his market's going to be. I think he's an intriguing guy, but yeah, like you should be able to just like, you look at the running backs that are drafted and you're like, why can't we get one of those? You know, why can't we get a Kenny Walker? You know, why can't we get a Breece Hall? These guys aren't going in the first two rounds. These are third and fourth round picks. Actually, I think they were both third round picks. Like they're there to be had. You just got to draft them. You know, and I'm not saying they need to start drafting running backs in the first and second round, but, you know, there's talented players to be found, and you just got to use picks on them. Like, that's
it. For whatever reason, definitely that position was not stressed at all.
It's like, I would much rather you draft a dart throw running back in the seventh round than Tommy Stevens, for example.
It was an interesting project.
Like, oh, yeah, we won't draft a running back, but we're going to draft a quarterback that we think can play tight end.
I don't even know if Tommy Stevens...
That doesn't want to be here. That would rather be in Carolina.
And now, yeah. I don't think he's in the NFL.
No, I don't think so either. But he did get to Carolina. They got him. They got their guy.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for us here on Inside Black and Gold. Thanks for everyone who stuck around. This was fun. I enjoy doing these mailbags. Hit us up on Twitter at @Jeff_Nowak and at @SteveGellerWWL. Leave a rating. Leave a review. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And I'm going to stop complaining about stars. That was a one-time only thing. But if you will leave us a rating and a review, I do appreciate it. Again, if we don't talk about what you think we should talk about, keep in mind that we will eventually. And all you got to do is ask. All right, Steve, any parting words?
Yeah, real quick, who you got making the Super Bowl? I'm going to go Eagles versus Chiefs, even though there's a banged up Patrick Mahomes.
You're going Chiefs. I'm sticking with Joe Burrow, man.
I understand.
He's going to lose big games. And I know Pat Mahomes is walking around like trying to pretend his ankle isn't like blowing up. He's so full of it. Like, you see him like walking, like, it's like, wow, he doesn't have a limp. But then it's like, you know, he gets around the corner and he's like, ah, no. Oh! You know? I'm betting the Bengals. I'm picking the Bengals. And then, you know, it's hard to pick against Brock Purdy at this point, because every time I do, I'm wrong. You know, like, I keep saying, oh, I'm going to bet against Brock Purdy because he's a rookie and he's eventually going to look like a rookie. That if it was going to happen, you think it would happen by now. But I do think that the Eagles are just too complete of a football team. The two most complete football teams in the NFL are the 49ers and the Eagles. And I do think that if the Eagles avoid turnovers and they don't make life easier on the 49ers, and they do force Brock Purdy to have to beat them, I think they win that game. I think that was the big difference between what that Cowboys game could have been and what it was, is the 49ers never had any scoreboard pressure. They were able to play from in front and let Brock Purdy do the things he was comfortable doing. Whereas if the Eagles are able to score and make Brock Purdy do things he's not necessarily comfortable doing, they win that game. So I'm picking the Eagles.
Yeah, with me, for Philly's got to get to Purdy and stop making him look so darn comfortable. I think I might have texted you something. It's like, he looks ridiculously at ease, and we're like in the depths of the playoffs here, and he's kind of playing off Joe Cool NFC style.
It's aggravating how easy he's making it all look.
Absolutely, right.
Like, all of these teams are just like, oh, we can't find a quarterback. We'll never win if we can't find a quarterback. And then literally the last pick in the seventh round is like, oh, yeah, this is nothing.
I've been one of those two. I keep waiting for him to come down to earth kind of deal, and it hasn't happened. He keeps putting up the numbers.
Yeah, I've lost money on him. I've bet against him like multiple times and lost every time.
Brock busted.
Here we go again. And this is me overreacting. This is why I lose all my bets, because I watched the Eagles torch the Giants, and now I'm like, well, the Eagles must be the best team ever because I like the Giants and they're not that bad. But then now I'm overreacting, thinking the Eagles are the best thing on the planet, and then the 49ers are just going to win 10. And
I'll say this for the Eagles: they did it convincingly after, you know, they had struggled for a little bit after they had a hot start to the season. And then kind of looked like they were waning, but Jalen Hurts and the offense kind of had their way. And it's obviously going to be a tough road against that Niners defense, but I don't know. I got a feeling we're in for a high scoring game there too.
They sure didn't wane in that one.
I don't think it's going to be that defensive struggle.
More like low wane.
I need a Funko Pop.
Yes. I have a Frodo Baggins if you want to take a run at that. It doesn't fit on my shelf or make sense.
Do they make them for like every movie character?
I think you could find a Funko Pop for literally anything on the planet. They're okay. Like, the they're like, people treat them like
Beanie Babies?
Beanie Babies in terms of like how they're going to like gain value. I'm like, guys, that's never going to be worth anything. It's just a toy.
What if your Funko was signed by Mike Thomas, though?
It probably would. Well, I've always said this. I think it's so wild to me that like it would be so crazy to me if I had the ability to make things more valuable by putting my name on them. And I do think if Mike Thomas came and signed it, it would be worth more than it is now. I don't know what that would be. It wouldn't be that much more.
You never know in the crazy Funko world, Funko Pop world of collecting.
In this Funko world we live in. All right, y'all, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Who dat? This is Inside Black and Gold. Check us out. We're going to be posting. I think Tuesday, Friday is going to be the schedule from here on out. It just makes more sense. Trying to record a Thursday episode in the off season is just not enough time and not enough news. So that's what we're going to keep doing. I do like the idea of making this one the live episode, so maybe that's what we'll keep doing. Thanks, everyone, who chimed in. And again, if you have any questions, comments, hit me up. Twitter. Don't hit me up on Instagram because I never use it. But yeah, that's it. All right, Steve. Say goodbye.
Sean to Arizona. Make it happen.